Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Will Polonchuk here with you on a beautiful Saturday morning in the city of Atlanta. Telephone number, 1 hour to play, 404-741-0929. Just a shorty today, not the 3 or 4 hour extravaganza. And also, as somebody who usually does the overnights, I get to see what this studio looks like in the light of day. And I tell you what, not bad with a high perch here in Midtown Atlanta. So very, very excited to at least kickstart your morning. We talked a lot in the opening hour on baseball. We'll do a lot of football in this hour. So baseball heavy hour, hour one. Football heavy hour, hour two. Of course, if you missed it last night, if you didn't stay up late or didn't hear it in the update earlier, it's the Braves 5, the Padres 3. Home runs from Josh Donaldson going the opposite way for a pair for him. Numbers 19 and 20 on the season. Ronald Acuña hit a big blast. Dallas Keuchel, his third consecutive start of seven innings. He goes very, very deep into that ball game last night. Struck out 5, one run on 6 hits, 4 walks, 13 ground ball outs. No flyouts as the Braves triumph over the Padres 5-3. Atlanta now 6 games ahead of Washington in the National League East. Washington beating Philadelphia 4-0. Philadelphia with the loss now 7.5 back, solo third in the NL East. Mets lost last night to the Marlins, making New York now 14.5 out and basically out of reach in the NL East. Well, we're going to talk later on this hour, about 15 minutes from now, with Peter Burns. He of the SEC Network does SEC This Morning on Sirius XM and the SEC Network Radio. He will do most of the coverage related to SEC Media Days in Hoover. He, along with Dari Noka, will be part of that crew. And, of course, he'll have all the interviews with coaches, including Kirby Smart of the Georgia Bulldogs, Nick Saban of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And, of course, we'll have our full coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as well from Hoover next week. And we'll talk to Peter not only about dogs, but we'll talk about the Crimson Tide and really about my assertion that, if we're being honest with ourselves here, this, not to say that there's a closing window for Georgia football, because there isn't. If you look at the way recruiting has gone for Georgia over the last couple of years, they have reinstituted themselves as a power in the Southeastern Conference when it comes to gaining talent. But what do they have to show for that talent? One appearance in the college football playoff final game and a loss to Alabama at the hands of them. And if it wasn't for Alabama, they'd be talked about, I think, on the same level. But the fact is, they have to play them every year. And because of that, it gives people the impression that Alabama and Clemson are on this tier above them, when in reality, I think they're right there. And I think with Fromm going into his third year, probably the best offensive line in football, and a lot of senior leadership on defense, this is the year you have to make it happen if you're Georgia. And we'll talk to Peter Burns a little bit more about that. Again, I think that if Kirby Smart wants to endear himself to the fans who want championship or bust, this is the year it has to happen. But here I want to talk about this story that came out yesterday. I first saw it on Pro Football Talk with our pal Mike Florio, and it's a story that came originally from Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal. He's reporting that the National Football League, who desperately, and I mean desperately, wants to cut down on the preseason action, take away at least two of those games, and push for an 18-game regular season, is apparently intent on trying to add the caveat of making the players only able to play in 16 of the proposed 18 games of that new proposed schedule. Let that sink in. Each player will only be able to play 16 of the 18 games, meaning that there will have to be a big enough roster for backups to fill up the other spots, including your favorite quarterback, your favorite wide receiver, your favorite skill position player, etc. Did that not sound as ludicrous to you as it did to me when I read it the first time yesterday? Because it did. It was very ludicrous. I don't know what brain-dead lunatic came up with that particular solution. 404-741-0929 and also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Is there anybody who actually likes this idea? Like, I'm sure that DeMorris Smith, and he spoke out about this yesterday, I'm sure he was sitting back in his office in the NFL Executive Director Players Association office. I don't see an 18-game schedule under any circumstance being in the best interest of the players, but I don't see why it would make any sense to do it this way. The NFL has long wanted 18 games. The NFLPA has long opposed it, and because of that, that is one of the reasons why many believe that we are headed for a work stoppage when the CBA expires after the 2020 season. They've been doing these negotiations, which it's odd because for the longest time, they wouldn't even come to the table and talk to each other. Smith says, why is it our job to figure out how to make 18 games work as players? You tell someone you're going to work longer and you figure out how to make it work? That doesn't work. It's not our job to put the square peg in the round hole. Fans and media discuss what would happen to ratings revenue, whether 18 games is a good idea or a bad idea. Is it good for us to have a coal miner willing to spend more time in the hole? Does it result in more money? Is it a good thing for him as a person? Probably not. That's the question nobody confronts. It's easy to say it's more money, but is it good for us? The answer is no. I like the idea of an 18-game schedule because I don't like any idea that continues down this farce of a preseason, which has become less and less important to me. You hear all these coaches say they get more out of actual training camp and controlled scrimmages against the opposition than they do actually out of the preseason games. Why do we need a glorified exhibition that forces season ticket holders of a sport to have to pay? It's the only sport, I believe. I think like basketball and hockey do this too, but basically makes you pay for two extra games at the rate that you're paying when it comes to your PSL. They make you pay this fee for these games that is not the market value of what you're getting with your season ticket license. It just isn't. It's not even close to the same game. The only way that it somehow markedly gives you a little bit is if you end up getting the dress rehearsal game as a home game, which the Falcons ironically do get. Their two games are sandwiched in the middle. And, of course, the Falcons this year have to play five preseason games because they play in the Hall of Fame game on August the 1st against Denver. At Miami, home against the Jets in Washington, and then at Jacksonville for the final preseason game on the 29th. All games happening on Thursday evening. I don't understand why this needs to be something that continues to happen. I know they like having the gate, but as multiple people have told me, the concession stand impact is minimal when it comes to what you get in a game. They're making the most money off the ticket price, which is already factored in most of these places because the ticket is already bought. So the fact that there's nobody in the stands makes no never mind to them, the owners. So if you're going to keep taking money away from us for these preseason games, then give me two more regular season games. Give me one more home game in the regular season. But don't do it with this cockamamie scheme to try and give the guys of player safety. I don't buy the DeMorris Smith thing that two games more a season gives you more of a danger when it comes to playing in the National Football League. I don't buy that end of it. But I do like the fact that he opposes it because of the fact that it gets rid of this 16-game limit that players would be on. Now, of course, Mike Florio points out that there is an easy get-around to this rule when it comes to quarterbacks, probably kickers and punters as well, because there are barely three-quarters of the league that has a reliable kicker and a punter, let alone guys who could be backups in this league at those positions. They say a similar situation could be made as well for folks, long snappers and things of that nature, other specialist-type players. Or you can designate maybe four or five guys on your team that could be 18-game guys. But still, the ludicrousness of the fact that these things are being proposed tells you just how far apart the league and the Players Association are on the 18-game schedule, which makes me think it's not going to happen. And if it does happen under this format, then I think it could be the first fruits of what ends up giving football the decline that many believe is going to happen over the next couple of years. I don't believe that the demise of football is upon us like many do. I still believe and still love the game. I still believe that the game has a place in our society. I still believe that more continues need to be done when it comes to the head injury studies and things with the helmet, soft barrier stuff, and things that at least keep the integrity of the game and keep the game as intact as possible with, of course, keeping the players safe, but not at the expense of radically changing the way you construct a roster. And while it might give more jobs to players because you'd have to have a bigger roster to make this thing work, the answer isn't putting more players on rosters and giving you this 16-game in 18-game limit deal. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It really, really doesn't. But maybe at least this opens the door to some other revolutionary idea that could make 18 games happen. Or again, just cut the preseason down. Just make it 2 weeks. Mandate that every team have a controlled scrimmage against one another. Do it on the training camp ground. You can sell tickets. Make it as an add-on to the season ticket package or do some sort of other scenario where it's not already built into what these guys are already paying. Make it an option. But in my mind, I don't see why you need to play four preseason games other than the fact that they've always done it. Just because you've always done something is not a good enough reason to me to keep doing it. Coming up, we'll preview Atlanta United's big match in Seattle tomorrow, later on in the hour. But next, Peter Burns of the SEC Network will preview SEC Media Days for us, and I will ask him, is this Georgia's year with the window to possibly sneak up on Alabama and unseat them in the Southeastern Conference? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Willie P. back here with you on a Saturday morning. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Sports Insiders are next. John and Hugh will follow them at 9 o'clock. So hopefully you are staying tuned all day as we continue to be live and local here on Atlanta's sports station, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow we'll have Atlanta United on the road at Seattle. Of course, next week, big coverage of the SEC Media Days in Hoover, and then the following week, got Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. Decision day Monday for the Falcons, Grady Jarrett, whether or not the Falcons will try and get a long-term deal with him by then, or if he will play the 2019 season under the $15.2 million franchise tag. That is, of course, the big question, whether or not that comes to pass. Looking more and more like the franchise tag will be applied by the Falcons, and of course, that does deal into the questions surrounding Julio Jones's potential deal, whether it's a long-term deal or not. He's got 2 years left on his deal, 19 and 20. Of course, Devontae Freeman has an opt-out after 20 as well. So there's a lot of money-related questions off the field when it comes to the Falcons and whether or not those are answered by the time we get to Flowery Branch a week from Monday or not remain to be seen. Of course, the earlier training camp for the Falcons because of the Hall of Fame game, which takes place on the 1st of August with Denver. Denver actually will start training camp on Wednesday. So they're getting started very, very early. They're going to stretch their practices out a little bit more to get themselves ready for August the 1st. So we'll at least give you all that on Monday as well as we continue to break down just exactly what the Falcons are. And, you know, I was talking earlier, and if I can only put a bow on it just a little bit with the talk about Matt Ryan versus Cam Newton, who needs a Super Bowl more to validate their Super Bowl legacy or to validate their Hall of Fame legacy, I still think that on balance, Ryan's numbers are better than Cam's and will be better than Cam's by the time his career is over. And because of that, I do believe that a Super Bowl would benefit Cam Newton more than it would benefit Matt Ryan. But I do think that a Super Bowl for either makes them a surefire Hall of Famer. I still think Ryan's a surefire Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. But if he stopped playing today, I don't think that he would be as of yet. Atlanta at Seattle Sunday. This is a big one for United because it is a road match. And you know, with Seattle being what they are this season, Seattle is obviously jockeying for their own position in the Western Conference. They sit third place behind the Galaxy, way behind LAFC, who, of course, has been a juggernaut at this point of the season. Only two losses for LAFC. Sounders 9-5-5, 32 points, two behind the Galaxy, one ahead of San Jose in the Western Conference. Of course, Atlanta comes in with 30 points in 19 matches, 9-3 draws, and 7. Of course, they sit two behind DC United, even legged there with Montreal Impact. So tied for third place, and of course, one ahead of NYCFC, three ahead of the Red Bulls, who they drew with in their last MLS match. And of course, many of the talk right now with United is basically the play of PT Martinez, who did score the opener in Wednesday's U.S. Open Cup victory over St. Louis. But the problems, of course, have dealt with off-the-field comments involving PT Martinez and involving Frank DeBoer's criticism of Martinez. Of course, DeBoer mentioned after the New York Red Bulls game that he basically removed Martinez because he was, quote, a danger to the squad after only 52 minutes played against the New York Red Bulls. And that was something that DeBoer said before the game, or before the press conference, I should say, something that he basically told Martinez about. Martinez says he probably was something that was lost in translation. And then Martinez went on a radio show or a program in Argentina and basically said, I'd rather kind of be back at River Plate, which, of course, is where he came from originally. And as a result, there have been rumors about his potential transfer and or loan back. Those rumors were squashed earlier this week by both Frank DeBoer and Darren Eales on our radio station. And as a result of these comments that were made Thursday coming to light, both Frank DeBoer and PT Martinez addressed the media. Carlos Bocanegra was on our station on Friday morning, the technical director of Atlanta United, and he had this to say about the squabbles between the head coach and the midfielder.
We spoke this morning. You know, each of them were a bit frustrated. You know, obviously Frank made a few comments after the game. Pitty made a few comments here, but it's nothing that there was nothing malicious in it. You know, there's nothing to it. Both guys are over it, so. I think it looks like the Argentinian press is looking to start, stir up some fires, so to speak, is really what we got out of it.
These are the comments, again, from DeBoer. When it's a danger to the team, I have to take any player out as a danger to the team at that moment. He doesn't do it on purpose, but has to realize maybe he was tired. Maybe he has to know where it has to be to make those plays. Do we have too many men in front of the ball? You can't lose the ball. He has to understand that better. I still believe in him. He has to improve there. And he has to win duels. You saw Vasquez come in, and it was a different story. I want not 10 or 9 or 8 men who work very hard. Everybody has to work hard, especially in these kinds of games. These are very difficult games. And, of course, he was talking about the removal after less than 15 minutes due to a series of unfortunate events, of course, that involved the loss to the Chicago Fire. And, of course, about 52 minutes into the New York Red Bulls match, which they struggled a lot when it came to New York getting forward, and they had their own struggles getting forward themselves against the very impenetrable New York back four. And as a result, in the attacking third, that saw a limit on the opportunities that they had. So as a result, they really couldn't get themselves the kind of opportunities that they needed to. Of course, they scored in stoppage time and an opportunity to possibly take the victory. And of course, the loss happened because of miscommunication in the back four, not Martinez's fault. This is our Jason Longshore on basically Martinez having to suck it up and play some D.
This has been the ongoing conversation about Pity Martinez doesn't play defense. Well, yes, he doesn't play defense. That's not his job. He wasn't brought here to do that. He was brought here to have moments of brilliance like he did last night. Now, the flip side of that is that Pity Martinez has to score goals, create chances for others, assist on goals to make it worth it for that to happen.
So basically, the reason that he is getting lambasted is because he doesn't have the ability to get goals from the standpoint of actually being a part of this team from that perspective. And in my mind, I look at this and I say, if you are the Atlanta United side here, with this little run of play here, you have to play at Seattle, home Houston, home DC United, and then at Atlanta FC. So basically, three out of the next four coming against teams who are basically in the thick of things in both conferences. Houston is probably the one that you could probably say is at least different than these next four coming up. Seattle third in the West, DC United neck and neck with you in the East, and LAFC, of course, the best team record-wise in all of the MLS. This is going to have to be a put-up-or-shut-up moment right now for PT Martinez, because if he, like Frank DeBoer says, continues to endanger this squad when he's on the pitch, then United's not going to have a chance when it comes to these next couple of games. And you could see them possibly fall in the standings, because right now, between second and sixth place, it's only separated by 4 points. Then you go all the way down to New England at 24. It's not like Atlanta is in danger of not qualifying for postseason if, say, they go on a run of defeats. But you need to make sure that everything is copacetic with your 11 on the field. We'll wrap it up, tell you what was left on the cutting room floor when we come back, and get you ready for the Sports Insiders as we continue. Will Polajic here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.